downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means. It's time for Here and Now with Rachel C. I'm your host, Rachel C. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, my guest is Dick, the one and only Dick Ziggin of Coney Island USA and the producer of the new show that will be running this month, The Education of Al Capone, as if presented by Jimmy Durante. We're going to kick things off tonight with a little something from our friends, the Pie Power Trio. This is Tough Enough on Radio Free Brooklyn. That was Tough Enough from our friends, the Pie Power Trio. It's fading out, I promise. Okay, thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn and Here and Now with Rachel C., where we celebrate live performance culture because we want you to go out and see and do things. And on that note, I've got things I want you to go out and see and do. Things to go out and see and do. Our friends, the Crevelators, have a show going on tomorrow, Friday the 11th. Of November at 8 p.m. at the Way Station in Brooklyn. The Crevelators and Friends. Listen, if Mike Cobb is throwing together a show, you know it's going to be quality. They will be joined at the Way Station by Drop Diamond and Andy Scargrave. That starts at 8 p.m. Go check that out. Also, our friend Lane Moore is back. She's bringing the Tinder Live show back to Brooklyn this Saturday at 11 at Littlefield, 635 Second Street. Her panel will consist of Connor Ratcliffe, Michelle Collins, and Kyle Ehlers. We can maybe they need to address the I should bring her back. She's not only back in town with Tinder Live, but she's got some book release parties. Her book How to Be Alone is fully available, and she's doing some signings and things and events. Go check that out. Maybe we can I'd love to have her back in the neighborhood to address some of these weird Tinder murals in Bushwick that are up now. Lane, congratulations on the book and the success of your very funny Tinder Live series. It's a lot of fun. It's basically the closest thing to Mystery Science Theater 3000 to come around in a long time, using a dating app, ironically. But I'd love to hear Lane's thoughts on the weird Tinder murals that are up in the Morganton area of Bushwick. My guest tonight is Dick Ziggin of Coney Island, USA, of the Mermaid Parade, the mayor of Coney Island.
America's most heavily tattooed playwright.
Yes, you have Robert and I beat by a mile. Robert Pritchard is joining me in the studio, of course.
And all-around defender of Americano, Bizarro, and the weird.
Yes, yes. So we're here to talk about, fun fact of that, we're here to emphasize...
Talk about Scarface.
We're going to talk about Scarface. Here's the thing. People know you, Dick, as probably the purveyor, largely... They know you probably most publicly from the Mermaid Parade, because that's the most, I guess, nationally known thing that you're kind of head up. You know you're from Coney Island, USA. You know you anyone locally should know you from for really kind of keeping Coney Island on the map and sort of saving Coney Island in a lot of ways. Kind of keeping a lot of things open back when and kind of protecting a lot of institutions out there from development and overdevelopment and shutdowns and knockdowns.
Thank you so much. That's all true, but I just turned 65. I'm bored and I remembered I'm a playwright.
Yes. This thing a lot of people don't know about you is that you are actually a trained playwright. You actually attended
Yale School of Drama.
Yes. I just learned this recently. Thank you, Travesty. You actually attended Yale School of Drama, and which does.
I graduated.
And you graduated Yale School of Drama. But that is actually what sort of like kind of led you into the production. That's your background in production. It sort of led you to the sideshows and. Led you kind of that's your theatrical background, which kind of led you to producing these shows, but just out in Coney Island as opposed to other places. And
right, so there's a whole arts organization and there's a theater company and buildings and utility bills have to be paid.
Yes.
We have to pay the bills, and the sideshow does that and the Mermaid Parade does
right.
that. But when I want to do something intellectually weird for fun, it's playwriting time.
Yeah, and this, you've got something going now, which is, which is running for, in the month of November, you are in previews, preview performances.
We open tomorrow is the first
actually.
Preview.
And the opening night is next weekend. So tell us about this show. It's called The Education of Al Capone, as if told by Jimmy Durante.
Yes, so... Scarface got his scar in Coney Island, but as famous as Al Capone, public enemy number one, is as many movies as there are, Jason Robards, Ben Gazzara, as many TV shows as there are, nobody, not in the movies, not on stage, not in TV, has ever dramatized the true story of how Al Capone got his scar. He was 18. Mm-hmm. He was working as a bartender and a bouncer in Coney Island for the head of the mob in Coney Island, a gangster by the name of Frankie Yale. Mm-hmm. And at that place, Al Capone took a liking to a woman who came into the bar, not knowing the guy she was sitting with was her brother. And Al Capone, the polite, well-finessed man that we've come to love in American culture, said to Lena Galluccio, "Honey, you got a nice ass," and I mean that as a compliment. That's the true story.
Yes.
Right after that, with his face scarred, he takes off for Chicago. Everybody who does the Al Capone stories wants to do St. Valentine's Day Massacre, wants to do Prohibition. They gloss over this. In the Ben Gazzara movie, they lie about it. They have him committing a robbery and getting into a fight with a cop. That's not what happened.
Right, right. He and the thing is, the whole point is this. You have a nice, I meant it as a compliment, though, but it's just, you know, you said the wrong thing to the wrong person in front of the wrong other person.
He's an 18-year-old wise ass at that point.
It's what it is. And so this play takes place in Coney Island, and the set is supposed
you're
to be the
Harvard Inn.
You're in the Harvard Inn.
So it's a reenactment.
It's a reenactment, and it's interactive. So the audience is... you say it's participatory, but you're kind of there on the set. The people, the actors are going to be there sitting among you.
The minute you arrive, you don't have to wait in the lobby. You could go into the dive bar. Mm-hmm. A waiter or waitress will give you a menu. The menu has one thing on it, warm beer and lousy pasta, $5.
$5.
That's all that happens the first 15 minutes.
Seems pretty authentic to the experience.
But then when the play gets going, fights break out in the audience. People get murdered in the audience. There are production numbers. And folks, I'm thrilled that some of you are going to come see this show. Do not, I repeat, do not wear your favorite clothing. There's a food fight between the audience and the actors. You're not going to ruin your clothes, but there's a food fight.
So those of you already thinking, oh, this is great. I'm going to wear like a period outfit. I'm going to dress like it's 1916 or something. Just that nothing too fancy. Nothing dry cleanable.
Yes. If you went to see the comedian Gallagher in Vegas,
yes,
and you sat in the first row, they would call it the splash zone.
Splash zone, yes.
Watch out for the splash
washable,
zone.
Machine washables. Okay, so you go there. So you're there and you're in the thick of it. So you're kind of in the thick of it, and things are happening around you. It's not like it's up on the stage. You're in there. You're kind of in the pit, so to speak.
You're in there. Jimmy Durante is doing what he did at his youthful job at Coney Island. He's the house piano player. At a bar, Jimmy Durante will be your narrator. He will sing you songs, although the lyrics of most of the songs have been changed for my purposes.
Right. So, yeah, we're already segueing into this. So let's talk about how Jimmy Durante gets merged into this Al Capone story. I guess it seems natural because he would have been an entertainer, a live entertainer, popular at the time. He might have performed at the Yale Club. So how did you decide to tell the story about this particular night on Al Capone's life, which is actually a very important night in his life? Why bring Jimmy Durante into it, and how did you bring Jimmy Durante
so
into it?
So any writer gets the advice, write what you know.
Right.
I've hung out at Coney Island for 40 years now, and it's low-hanging fruit for me. There's this incredible story about this iconic figure getting his nickname, Scarface, in Coney Island. But it happened so fast, there's not enough of a story unless you include the culture of Coney Island.
Right.
What kind of dive bar is called the Harvard Inn, owned by a gangster named Frankie Yale? So my first decision is to bring in Jimmy Durante, who was a piano player in Coney Island, and Clara Bow, who before she became a famous silent movie actress, was working as a waitress at Nathan's Hot Dogs, when she was 14 years old. So then we take in Coney Island culture. We take in the history of Al Capone. I spent 3 years in New Haven, goddammit. I can crack jokes about Yale, sure enough. And then finally, I don't really like to relive the moment, but the year before I started writing this play, I had a very bad accident. My face was smashed. Ouch. At work at Coney Island, and an ambulance took me to Coney Island Hospital, where I got stitches and they sewed my face back up in the same hospital where Al Capone got his face sewed back up. So write what you know. I know this story. I got it.
You know Coney Island and its history. And real mention, this is why it's so important to kind of keep these institutions alive and keep telling these stories, is that there is a real rich history of art and performance art in these places. Like, this is where so many, there's like these, you know, if you go back, the history of vaudeville and silent film, and they had to start there. There's such a rich arts history in these places.
It's a popular culture form. Okay. It is popular. It is fun. Buy a ticket. I guarantee you'll have a good time. Right. And if you don't, my friend Al Capone will knock you out and screw you.
And also, can I just throw in a little something? Even it might sound like a quip, but it's interesting. I feel it's honest social commentary. The fact that you were stitched, that the hospital where Al Capone went is still standing there for you to go. It has not been closed by the city. It was still there when you
went. They've added a few more buildings.
It's still standing, and it's been expanded upon, and it's there for you to
and look at my you, face when you're the folks on the radio can I probably look better than I did.
Services like being shut down and there not being anything anymore in New York. There's still a hospital in Coney Island. One of the aspects of the play, the interesting is, and if we're going to talk about Jimmy Durante and bring Jimmy Durante in it, is the music and the musical stylings of the era.
Ragtime Jimmy.
And the wormhole that I went down researching and putting together this show, Jimmy, you know, he got his start as a very young man playing ragtime, and his first musical partner was his cousin by the same name, Jimmy Durante. Jimmy was a little more professional than his cousin, even at the age of 12.
You think Jimmy Durante was better than Jimmy Durante?
Yeah, well, what I read, Jimmy was a little more professional than his cousin Jimmy. They were in seventh grade together. So he stuck with it, whereas his cousin Jimmy wasn't. This is what I read. But he played ragtime, and that was what he was trained in and was popular at the day. And he was very good at... in live performance, segueing, using music to segue.
He'd start a song, stop the music, He'd do a 10-minute comedy routine.
And he'd do a 10-minute comedy routine. He was a musician who created the comedy routines, and he had a distinct voice and a distinct nose also. They called him the schnoz. I believe it was...
Schnozzola.
Schnozzola. An ode to, he was from the Lower East Side.
He was Italian, but he hung out in Coney Island, so he spoke Yiddish.
Exactly. He was a schnozzola. He had what was a Lower East Side accent of the day, and he had a unique kind of way of speaking. So
Al Capone was a Brooklyn boy.
Yeah, so he...
Clara Bow grew up in Sheepshead Bay. This is a Brooklyn story.
It's very
true Brooklyn story.
So the sounds of this play are very, very unique, and you've incorporated all of this into the music, and we've got some tunes here we can play. I don't know if you want to pick one here. We've got we've got some stuff from the original Dixieland Jazz Band.
The original Dixieland Jazz Band was one of the very first groups, the very first year they started recording jazz and putting jazz on vinyl records.
Some of the earliest recorded
Jimmy Durante actually performed with the original Dixieland Jazz Band.
Right, it's one of the original, I'm sure my research, your research is even bigger. If you just look in terms of what's categorized, that's kind of like the band, the group, if you will, that like some of the earliest recordings fall under these sort of traditional
pieces. Scott Joplin-like, most of them instrumentals, and then... Yeah. Jimmy Durante, of course, comes along and starts singing to that kind of early jazz.
Let's throw a little something on here. We've got, let's see what we have here. We've got Satanic Blues is an early one.
Yesterday was Halloween. Let's stick with Satanic.
There's like Satanic Blues on here now, which you'll see.
Thank you.
we're back. Okay, we just heard Satanic Blues.
That's
from the original
hot jazz from 1916.
That's really hot jazz. Okay, so we're talking about the music of the time. We're going to get into some music from Jimmy Durante.
Because some of you don't know that Jimmy Durante was this incredible, famous performer in the movies on Broadway with his own TV show.
And for the younger listeners or even older listeners, if I need to make a really easily remarkable reference, Frosty the Snowman is probably the thing.
Oh,
that,
but that now you're going to scare him off.
So nobody I didn't mean from, to scare him off.
Nobody
but,
Bushwick is going to come see the show now. That's sentimental.
I'm sorry. Am
man.
I too sentimental?
See now, Jimmy Durante.
But listen, for the out of towners. Okay. I'm going to play a little something from Jimmy Durante, and then I want to talk about the process of putting this together, the casting and also like the band or the musicians that kind of hard work.
Theater
like
sucks.
You must love it, man. Put it together. So we have something here, Guam Home Your Mother's Calling, which is like the perfect blend of all the
so
New York.
It does appear in the show. It's the one song I did not change the lyrics to. Al Capone has just killed. Uh-huh. Killing is a prerequisite for becoming a made member.
Right.
So he's about to be made, and Frankie Yale, who makes him, gives him Clara Bow, 14 years old, in a misogynist world, abused by everyone, including her father, mm-hmm. True story. So Al Capone gets to become a made guy, and he gets Clara Bow while this song is being sung.
Wow. Go on home, your mother's calling.
Light us, some gang comes to fight us. We don't call the cop on the beat. We, each one of us, takes our place and tells them right off to their face. Go on home, your mother's calling. Your father just fell in the garbage can. Go on home, your mother's bawling. They've come to collect your old man. Stop the music, stop the music. What are you guys doing, playing the spots in front of your eyes? That trumpet player sounds like he's cooling a soup. Why, I can blow better music than that with one lip tied behind my back. All right, now start the chorus. Anybody who don't like the notes I wrote can turn in his uniform. And I think it's only fair to warn you guys that I weigh 160 pounds. And remember, that's all flesh and bone. There ain't a bit of muscle on me. Now I'm ready to vocalize. Are you on that trumpet? Be careful what you do, you're liable to throw the whole band at the tune. All right, let's get started. One day my sweet mother said, fetch your big brother, he ain't showed since yesterday noon. So I makes a beeline as fast as a feline to old man McGinty's saloon. And just as I peeks through the doors, the bouncer, he spots me and roars. Go on home, your mother's calling, your father got caught in the wash machine. Go on home, your mother's bawling, she can't get the laundry out clean. Ah, this carries me back to my childhood, and that's quite a trip. Boy, did I live in a tough neighborhood. My neighborhood was so tough that anybody with ears was a cocker spaniel. My father was kind of tough, too. My dad knew how to stop a coal in your head from getting down into your chest without using medicine.
How'd he do that?
He tied a knot in your neck. Ah, looking back, what a cute baby I was. 10 little fingers and 8 little toes. I came from a very poor family. But don't think I was lacking an education just because I came from a tough neighborhood. At the age of 8, I was a student of languages. I spoke French, Spanish, 18th century colonial, and Chippendale. And when I speak Chippendale, the chips fall where I play them. Ah, those childhood days. I'll never forget Christmas when I was a kid. I'd come running down the stairs Christmas morning, and what a surprise. You know what I'd find in my socks?
What?
My father's feet. Go on home, your mother's calling. Your pa put a mouse in your mother's shoe. Go on home, your mother's falling, and you'll get the crybaby too.
This is a crybaby too, that guy. You're listening Here and Now with Rachel Z on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you miss any of tonight's broadcast, or you just want to hear the whole thing all over again, tune in Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for the rebroadcast. This will be up on Podomatic on Tuesday for your downloading and streaming pleasure. My guest tonight is Dick Zigan. Oh, very quickly, we are a 501c3. If you want to support us and keep us rocking and rolling, you want to support Small Batch Artisanal Farm to Table, community-based, commercial-free internet radio, get your write-offs on and flirt with the donate button. We appreciate it. So tell us a little bit about the whole process of this. So you've got this, we've got the play. It is in previews this weekend. It's running through the month.
I wrote it 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
We did a workshop of a first draft version. We've brought it back. From the first draft, I had the Yale shtick, I had the Coney Island shtick, I had the Al Capone facts, but it was just the Coney Island play. It didn't have gravitas. And if you go to Yale and get a diploma, you can't read your diploma. It's all in Latin. But if you get somebody who speaks Latin to translate it, it says gravitas.
So you need some gravitas.
So I'm watching the Judge Kavanaugh hearings and like getting outraged about Ivy League privilege and all these guys at Yale who drink beer. They like beer at Yale. And like the way they behave. And I realized, aha, I've already written this play about the mafia and it's already cracking jokes about Yale and Harvard. Can I bring that out a little
bit? Okay. That asshole Judge Kavanaugh, I can say that here because we're internet radio, kind of inspired some art here.
It inspired a whole rewrite.
Wow, a quick rewrite. Some goodness came out of all this. But it sounds like there was this whole musical element that came to this. And there's sort of, well, it's not a band, there are musicians that were brought into this.
Right, so their people are playing piano live, they are playing ukulele live, they are playing the kazoo live.
There's a kazoo.
Yes.
Which actually works, actually, with this type of
music.
They are
singing, they are dancing, they're telling jokes. And don't forget, people get murdered in the audience. Fights break out in the audience. There is a food fight.
So there's kind of a supper club feel to this, if you will.
And then when it actually comes to Scarface becoming Scarface, of course, because I went to Yale School of Drama, it turns into Brechtian Cabaret.
Okay, so what was this like in terms of trying to cast this whole thing? Because I imagine you're trying to cast the musicians and you're trying to cast like a young Al Capone, but you're trying to
cast... We place a casting notice. The first week we place the casting notice, we get 30 people saying... I wanted to make an appointment for an audition. We scheduled auditions that night and not one shows up.
Wow.
So we run another casting notice for the following week and like 80 people show up.
Wow. That's wild. It used to be, you know, 15 years ago, it used to be like you showed up for the audition and the audition wasn't there. So everybody shows up. But I mean, was it challenging to find like? I mean, Al Capone is this kind of iconic character, and you did mention the Al Capone story has been told like so many different ways. Not the way you're trying to tell it in this production, but was it kind of challenging trying to find the right actor because everyone thinks you're trying?
No,
to play
it's
Al Capone
New
in
York
way,
City. It, yeah. It's the theater capital of the world. There's a lot of talent here. What's difficult is finding people who stick with the project instead of saying, yeah, I'll do it and leaving it a couple of days later.
Or I'll do it, really want to do it, but I got to pay my rent. So they, or not that you're not paying, but I'm just saying.
We pay
like,
a bit. We pay poorly.
I'm not sorry. I didn't mean to insinuate anything there, but sometimes people say, or my agent has called and I must go over here or, you know, like. The shit happens kind of stuff that happens or it is
yeah but we have a terrific cast. There's six people in the cast. Two of the six are people I've worked with before at Coney Island.
Okay.
And four of them are people I had never met before they auditioned, and they're wonderful. We had dress rehearsal today. It's a damn good play.
Okay, you've written this. Are you directing this also?
I wasn't supposed to. Okay. A friend of mine, a well-known actress, was going to do it. I thought that was a smart marketing move, mm-hmm. and it was, but... she's a well-known actress, and she got a job in California.
Oh, boy.
Ooh-hoo.
That's what it'd be my sometimes other obligations take us places.
But if I'm directing, they'll still tell me you can't have a fight in the audience. You can't murder people in the audience. And even though I'm the producer, I have to listen to them a little bit. But if I wasn't, they're in power positions. Al Capone would be a nice guy who just feeds the poor and doesn't kill anybody. And that's not the real Al
Capone. Not, well, anyone who's listening, listeners, hint, hint, wink, wink, you know, this is, you go to see the show, you'll be wildly entertained, and there's going to be someone murdered, maybe close to you. Faux murdered, maybe
it
close to you.
It won't be you.
But just
it the, won't
I mean,
be
we, the,
you.
People going to the show, if you see the poster, if you kind of, I guess, any advertising, you know, this is
don't
kind of interactive.
Don't bring your kids to this
not
show.
A, not
there's
a kid
adult
show.
Language. There are ethnic stereotypes. There is flying ballistic pasta. There is cigar smoking.
Pasta. That alone. Cigar smoking. Okay, so there's cigar smoking. There's things going on. I'm sure
there
are warnings.
Anachronisms. Like, there's all types of things that could disturb you.
There's jazz. There's there's ragtime. There's all sorts of things.
And although it's done in a way that you will be outraged and understand the metaphors, this is the world of gangsters. It is a misogynist world.
It sounds like you really were trying to keep true to the story, though.
It is the true story, the closest to the true story that's ever been written. Public Enemy number one, Scarface,
I'm
and
surprised.
Nobody else has done the true story.
We're talking about this.
Lucky
as
for
we
me,
going on the air. I've read this in several places that this is the story of how, you know.
I read something
Scarface
yesterday
got
said
scar,
it
that
happened
how,
in New Jersey.
Yeah, I thought this was how he got the scar. I said, Dick, is there another? This isn't the true story? He didn't insult somebody at some club somewhere?
Hey, Brooklyn, wake up. It's our story.
But apparently it is true. Just no one's ever told the story in any kind of art form, meaning never in a play, a film,
not
a TV
until
show.
Until now.
He sold some young lady. She had a nice ass in as nice a way as he knew how. And it just went terribly wrong for him. Because even back then, you couldn't. Yeah, there were standards. So come and see the show. See what happens to Al Capone, because even back then, he just couldn't say that to a lady. is there a website where we can...
ConeyIsland.com.
So
easy to remember. You can make a reservation. You can buy your ticket right there.
And the tickets are $20. The shows
but
are
the
on,
previews are only $10
only
this,
$10
weekend.
This weekend. The
tomorrow, shows, Friday at 8, Saturday, 4 o'clock matinee, and 8 p.m., Sunday, 4 p.m.
Okay, and... the shows are always Friday, Saturday, Sundays at 8, and the matinees are...
Friday and Saturday at 8, Saturday and Sunday also at 4.
Those are when the matinees are.
Yep.
On that note...
And it's 4 weekends, but not November 10th.
Not November 10th. That one's the night.
Because Al Capone has to go to Chicago.
Oh, Al. Al.
No. There's a fundraiser at Coney Island, USA, which is also a not-for-profit and worthy. Of course it's worthy.
So
they
go check out the fundraiser,
plays
Coney Island,
about
USA.
Al Capone.
Yes. On that note, we're going to play a little something else from the original Dixieland Jazz Band. I invite you to check out Coney Island USA's website. We're going to be sharing all this information on Here and Now social channels. This is the Creators of Chaz from the original Dixieland Jazz Band.
Thank you.
I wanted to take a moment to remind you listeners that Radio Free Brooklyn is proud to announce that we're launching an after-school program for local teenagers in 2019 to learn media literacy through media making using a hands-on approach guided by local professionals. If you're interested in participating or donating to the program, please go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/afterschool. And remember, all donations are tax deductible. Please consider making a donation. We actually received a grant from the Rockefeller donation to cover most of this, but we're a little bit shy. So please help us consider helping us making the rest of the program possible by making a donation. RadioFreeBrooklyn.org/afterschool. It's right us on, you guys. Also, you don't have to just listen to us at home. You can take us on the go. We have mobile apps available. The sound quality is very good. There are mobile apps available through the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. Check us out. Take us with you. I think I've met all my on-air read requirements for the evening. We can talk about Al Capone some more now. and Jimmy Durante some more. We've got the show going on Coney Island. I'm curious. So, what you mentioned? You went to Yale. I'm just curious. What was
not undergraduate?
Thesis?
I did 3 years at Yale School of Drama doing graduate work.
Doing graduate work. What was your thesis there?
My thesis was a play because I have an MFA in playwriting. The play was called Three Unnatural Acts, and it won the graduation award for Best New Play at Yale School of Drama, 1978. That's how old I am.
Fun fact you did not know about Dixie.
The play was about Charles Lindbergh, and previous to this play, projecting into the future, the thesis play about Charles Lindbergh was my most commercial work. It's had 6 productions at regional theaters.
That's impressive.
But this one's going to Broadway because it's got Jimmy Durante and Al Capone and Clara Bow and that lowlife Frank Galluccio who cut his face up.
Lowlife Frank Galluccio. What I'm just curious from. Like, what brought you to, been doing a little backstory here, what brought you, like, to Coney Island from Yale? Or I'm sure there was some in-between in there. But
so
like,
right out of Yale, before I even moved to New York City, my plays get picked up by the major regional theater in Los Angeles, the Mark Taper Forum, the equivalent of what the Public Theater in Manhattan, the Mark Taper in L.A., and my work's very Americana, so in some ways, L.A. getting my shtick made sense. I'm out there, but I know that if you're going to make a living in theater, you have to live in New York City. I'm hanging out at the beach, and I see this wonderful play by another playwright, Len Jenkin, called Kid Twist. That takes place in Coney Island. And I go back to see it a second time and a third time. And I'm in Los Angeles thinking about the beach. And I go to Santa Monica. And on the Santa Monica Pier, I see an arcade building for rent. And epiphany hits me on the Santa Monica Pier that that's the right context for me to start a theater, but on the East Coast, not on the West Coast. So I go out to Coney Island and I start checking out the real estate.
Wow. Interesting. And you're still here.
And 40 years later.
Wow.
God.
It kind of saved pieces of Coney
Island.
So
I'm bored and I get tattoos and I write weird plays.
Write really good plays that we should all go
out
and see.
Good weird plays.
Good weird plays. But it's a merging of, you know, important history, interesting and untold history of...
An American icon.
It's a story that had to be told. Exactly. He's supposed to say he's kind of a pop culture figure, Al Capone.
And he belongs to Brooklyn. He's not a Chicago guy.
I think he kind of ran out here.
He got syphilis in Chicago, not in Brooklyn.
He got it out there. He kind of fucked some things up out there. Things got nasty out there. He's a Brooklyn guy. He kind of ran out there after he got beat up out here.
He's a persuasive guy, and Where did he learn how to do all that?
Here.
He got his education at Frankie Yale's Harvard Inn.
He did.
Where?
Yale's Harvard Inn.
Jimmy Durante arguably was a piano player, and he's the right person to tell the story.
And also just like this thing, when we hear Durante's voice and the idea of him being a storyteller with that voice, it's actually ironically really beautiful. Yep. I think Durante's voice also is so iconic and also so timely. If you want to talk about the voice of a generation, his voice kind of encapsulates a moment in history, because it's, we talk about like what people of a certain time and place would have sounded like. He really had that.
Hey, you young kids out there, go to YouTube and find Jimmy Durante. You'll have a good time.
Man, he's all over YouTube. And he's been all over everything you grew up with.
And keep away from that sentimental crap that he did when he was old. Stick with the early stuff.
Frosty, Jesus.
Hey, can we talk for a minute about people being scared to going to Coney Island in November?
Yeah.
The rides are closed, but it's not the frozen tundra. It's New York City. Nathan's is open.
You can
go watch the sunset at the beach and then come see the show.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, Coney Island.
It's not so scary. Al Capone is scary.
We could talk about the Coney Island USA and the museum and everything, the sideshow. That's open year-round. Mm-hmm. So the rides are closed. Kind of those big kind of beachy fun things are you know, so we tend to think of as summer activities. They're kind of not active right now, but Coney Island is up and running year-round.
The ocean is there year-round.
Yeah.
Yes.
There aren't lifeguards on the beach year-round. So there are things you can go and see and do and drop your money on or not year-round.
The lifeguards are not there. You can bury a body at the beach.
You can totally bury a body. That's where
no one will see you.
Who will see you year-round. So what are the things going down? What are some of the things going down in Coney Island outside? Well, other like you need something to do besides the play.
Well, this Sunday, the half marathon, the big event in New York City, ends up in Coney Island.
Okay.
So you could run out to Coney Island, get all sweaty, eat some pasta, drink some beer, get your energy back, and watch Al Capone kill for the first time. What a great day that would be for you runners.
The aquarium's still open year-round.
Every single day.
Every single day. The museum's out there.
Every Saturday
and Sunday. The sideshow still has regular shows at regular intervals.
No. It'll be back in April.
Okay.
The Polar Bear Club is swimming already every Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Right. There are still businesses, lots of places to eat out there. Places to shop.
We've got a pretty good gift shop. And
the gift shop is a lot of fun. I can attest to that.
Serves Coney Island Brewing Company. You can get a Coney Island lager, a mermaid, a merman. You could go to the brewery itself a few blocks over. You can see Surf Avenue ripped up and under construction. So don't drive, take the subway.
And you can walk that boardwalk for miles, basically. A lot of fun out there. Definitely go check out Coney Island. Just to review and to reiterate, the show is The Education of Al Capone as If Told by Jimmy Durante. And the show dates are, the previews are this weekend for only $10. It's Friday at 8 p.m., tomorrow at 8 p.m., Saturday 4 and 8 p.m., Sunday at 4. Opening night is next Friday. That's when the tickets are $30. That's at 8 p.m. Sunday, the 11th, 4 p.m. at $20. And moving forward from that point, it's always $20. Friday at 8 is Friday at 8 p.m.
Two more weeks.
Yeah.
After
it's Saturdays and Sundays 4 and 8 and Fridays at 8 p.m. And you can go to the website is coneyisland.com. And you can get all the information there. And from there, you can also find out about other things to do year round.
And make sure you don't wear your best clothes.
You remember Gallagher Show, kind of. It's Coney Island. Have fun. Show off your ink. Show off your piercings. You're kind of like in a jazz, but
if you're a playwright, show me your tattoos and let's compare and see who's the most tattooed playwright.
It's Coney Island. We could have a most tattooed playwright contest. That could be the newest thing. Like, you know, we have hot dog eating contests.
It could be a trend. I could see the Manhattan Theater Club.
That could be a random day in November contest. like off-season contest, most tattooed play, right? You throw down a play and roll up your sleeves, and there's your contest of the season. Thank you, Dick, for joining us. Is there anything about like putting on this production that kind of surprised you or took you by surprise in a good way that you weren't expecting? I mean, you've been doing this a long time, writing and working in Coney Island, putting on productions there and shows and casting and doing all sorts of stuff out
there. Just how much fun bad people can be. We're having
a really good
time.
It still stinks
and
you for having surprised how much fun we're
for
having.
For me,
that's good.
I pondered the one real sentence we know is true, that Al Capone, not words that Dick Zigan put in Al Capone's mouth, the real Al Capone at 18 said, "Honey, he got a nice ass." And I mean that as a compliment. And working back from there, to me, that was his whole smart-ass 18-year-old Curly Howard of the Three Stooges personality.
He's
crazy. And it's funny.
Yeah.
And then he kills people. Yeah,
but he's kind of at that point where it's like he's only 18, so he could kind of go either way, maybe. You know, he's just 18, but he's still Al. You know, please go check out the play. You're about to really be immersed in a formative night in Alphonse Capone's life, but you're going to be there experiencing this miraculous, kind of really fascinating time and place in New York City's history.
Hey, like, Brooklyn, we expect to see you there.
Exactly. You're going to be in a time, you're kind of like taken back in history to a time and
right
place.
Right before Prohibition. 1917 or 1918.
Yeah, right. Right before Prohibition, when Jimmy Durante would have been the entertainment there live, back when things were kind of really on experimental and exciting, and things it was just a different time and place. And this is a really interesting play in that it's an in production that is kind of taking you there, you're kind of being immersed in it, you're kind of going somewhere else. And thank you for doing this, Dick, and thank you for coming on the show tonight,
and thank you for having me.
And keep us posted and stay tuned to Here Now and all the social channels. We're going to keep you posted as to what is going on with the show. We'll post links connecting you for ticket links. We're gonna go see the show. Better catch you all there.
Yep.
Each and every one of you that I'm
and
actually
keep
not looking
Brooklyn
at.
Free radio free. Don't start charging for it.
Yeah, we're gonna charge all of you. Donate right now to Coney Island and Radio Free Brooklyn. Once again, rebroadcast at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Stay tuned for Frequency Theory with Tom Tenney. He's out in the hall. He totally did not hear me flood that right now. No, he didn't hear me. He's not looking at me right now. He's right behind Dick, and he did not hear me flood that right now. Totally didn't. Many thanks to Ben Lewis of Ben Talks. He'll be holding it down next week. In 2 weeks, tune in to Here and Now. My guest will be Nicholas Fowler, musician and New York Times bestselling author, who will be talking about his newest book release. We're going to end things tonight with a little something from our friends Shark Meffin and Emma DeCourcy. First, we'll kick things off with Chartreuse.
Chartreuse!
Let's go.